views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my other host, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sean?
Pretty good.
I know you got a topic you want to discuss. Probably old news to some of the more hardcore paranormal fans out there, but to those who are just getting started, our godfather has passed.
Yeah, that's right. Art Bell, for those of you who don't know who that is, which would be really weird because you're listening to this show, but, you know, maybe right. You just flipped the channel and now you're here and you're like, who are these people?
Right.
If that's the case, then Art Bell founded Coast to Coast, which is basically the show that was this show and a zillion other shows before they ever existed. So
right.
Know him, know us, basically.
Yeah. Art Bell... You know, he started out as a newscaster, mm-hmm. and he quickly got sick of being a newscaster and decided that the late-night call-ins were the best, and he went to start a late-night program called Coast to Coast AM that for years during the 90s was the third largest radio show in the country, the first being Rush Limbaugh, the second being, what's his face? Howard Stern.
Okay.
And then Coast to Coast AM was the third largest. And, man, he was living my dream. So the show always said from the Kingdom of Nye. He was in a county in Nevada called Nye County. Mm-hmm. And Pahrump, Nevada is where he was from. And he had this compound that he lived on, and he built a studio in. And basically he would sit there and run his show all night long. He'd run the board. Nobody was screening the calls. And he would basically just take calls, and if they got wild, he'd cut them off. And, you know, for years he had, he was running like four phone lines at a time.
Right.
And one was dedicated to abductees for years. And then in the latter years and then through Coast to Coast with George Norrie, who took over, mm-hmm. They had their dedicated line to time travelers.
Interesting.
Where they wanted real time travelers to call in.
I'm guessing not a whole lot of call-ins on that line.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I have been a loyal Coast to Coast listener since the 90s. And
unfortunately, I didn't really get into it until we started this show, and I felt I needed to brush up. But I was, of course, well aware of him.
Of his existence,
Much longer before that, of course.
Yeah. He definitely pioneered a lot of these topics into reality.
Yeah.
One of the articles that I read about him here just recently referred to him as a pioneer of fake news.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to some extent. I think we should point out, though, that, you know, he was never trying to mislead. He was never trying to be, I don't know, malicious or anything. Reading about his philosophy of what he was doing, it always strikes me as very admirable and very much what we're kind of trying to do.
He was a healthy skeptic.
He was. And he was just, you know, kind of trying to shed a light on sort of the weirder stuff that was going on the cracks of society that people were believing in. And he wanted to bring that out in a...
And being a fan of his, since about 93,
mm-hmm.
I definitely saw some evolution in him that I kind of see going on in us.
Sure.
And that is that when we started this show, we were very skeptical, very skeptical.
Yeah.
But then when we have guests on and we get to know them and we talk to them and we start to think, man, this person is not lying to me.
Yeah, it's
they
hard
might
to
be,
maintain that. It
they
really
might be
is.
Lying to themselves. They might be... somehow duped or tricked or something like that, but this person is not lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely. So each time we have a guest that I feel that way on, you know, I start to think more and more like, oh, God, what's going on out there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very depressing. Very sad for me.
That is very sad.
You know, there are a few people who have died over the years here recently that it was very moving for me that they died. And, like, to other people, you know, they're just all like, oh, these great leaders and stuff like that. And I'm just, you know, to me, it's you know, Lou Reed was a big one for me. Yeah. David Bowie was a big one for me.
Oh, David
Art
Bowie.
Bell is a big one
that
for
hurt.
Me.
Yeah, David
I have
Bowie
to admit,
hurt.
Steve Irwin was a big one for me.
That was a little while ago now.
Yeah, my wife straight up cried when the Crocodile Hunter died.
It was sad.
Yeah, it was.
That was also like, what, 10 years ago?
I don't know. She had some sort of weird connection. She's cried since. You know, she'll see like Bindi Irwin running her show and she's like, oh, God.
Yeah, but I shouldn't laugh, but that's great.
Well, I try to tell her, I think Bindi's moved on, honey. Yeah, maybe you should. Yeah, so anything else exciting happened to you this week?
I'm running a D&D campaign for the Vampire Community message board online.
You know, if you take each of those words and give them to me separately, I know exactly what they mean. But somehow when you put them together in that sentence, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, so you know how we had
that's a total lie. I used to play D&D, but
yeah, you know how we had a bunch of vampires on the show that one time.
Oh yeah,
it was memorable, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to forget. Yeah. So yeah, the particular message board has been kind of like the unofficial hub for all those guys for a really long time here. So I figured, hey, I'll sign up and do a D&D campaign for them. That's actually not what happened, necessarily. But I did sign up to see what was what, and,
So this is like, what's his name? Damien Nightstalker?
He's not actually on there, but it is a similar sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Similar sort of people.
Right,
really.
Right.
Yeah, so
they play D&D online.
Apparently.
So who rolls the dice?
Oh, well, I mean, pretty much all of the D&D games I've played with whoever have been online. There are dice rollers you can do online where everyone can see the results of the rolls.
Oh.
So you just open one in a tab or something. Mm. Or you just do the honor system and you just report your dice rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that works too, honestly.
Right, right. Huh. That's,
Yeah.
That's...
So that's what's going on with me right now.
Huh.
Hard to get those guys together, though. It's like herding cats.
Well, I mean, I assume this goes on at night.
You would think, but I don't know.
I guess as long as the drapes
are closed.
A lot
of them have day jobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's hard to make a function totally nocturnally in society,
yeah,
sadly.
Yeah, my daughter does pretty well.
Yeah. Well, okay, it's hard to function if you have, like, a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm very stumped by that. That, I don't know. D&D
it's
was,
interesting. They're nice
D&D
people.
Was a huge part of my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been into things that the world ended up deciding were satanic.
Sure.
But personally, I don't actually believe in Satan. So they
no,
are not
I think that ship has kind of sailed on D&D at this point.
Well, I always thought it was funny that like people are just D&D's satanic. I'm all, have you got to look at these people who are playing this stuff?
Yeah.
In the '80s, when I was playing it, you know, it was not exactly like hide your children, the D&D players. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland tonight. Our guest is Debbie Tripp, an abductee and contactee, and also a hypnotherapist. And this is the commercial break. Come on back for Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland.
some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
This is John Cox, Republican candidate for governor. California already had the highest income tax rate in the nation, along with sky-high sales taxes. But with liberals like Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom, it's never enough. Now you're facing huge increases to register your vehicle on top of a whopping 12 cents a gallon increase in the gas tax. And for what? To pour billions more into Caltrans, one of the most bloated and corrupt bureaucracies on the planet. A bureaucracy that spends 2.5 times as much to build and maintain a mile of road as in the rest of the country. When taxpayer groups asked me to chair the campaign to repeal this outrageous tax, I readily agreed. And now I'm asking for your help. To download the petition, go to johncoxforgovernor.com. Are you ready to take back California? Then join me. This is John Cox, Republican candidate for governor.
Paid for by John Cox for Governor 2018.
KCNR 1460, Redding's locally owned talk radio, home to Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday, we welcome One Safe Place. The annual Walk a Mile in Her Shoes fundraiser is coming soon, and the organization is gearing up for Dancing with the Stars Shasta County style. We will also find out how you can serve your community on the Shasta County Grand Jury. Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves on KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guests, Debbie Tripp, an abductee and contactee and hypnotherapist. That's quite a list there, Debbie.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, the first thing that popped to mind for me here is that you're a hypnotherapist that sort of uses that to help other abductees and contactees. So, you know, chicken or the egg, which one came first, being an abductee or being a hypnotherapist?
Well, I was a hypnotherapist prior to my conscious experiences happening, and I don't actually use hypnotherapy with contactees or abductees because I've learned that that's a trigger for me. So it's best for me and for the client that I not use that with them. What I do use with them is EFT, or the tapping technique, emotional freedom technique, and that has been a kind of a safe space for both them and myself. But
so I was a little confused from my notes here. In my notes here, I got a little confused. It said hypnotherapist that practices the emotional freedom technique. So those are two different things. What is the emotional freedom technique?
So emotional freedom technique, or EFT, is also called the tapping technique. And so if you've ever seen videos or heard anything about this, it's where we tap on acupoints while we're discussing issues related to whatever the dilemma might be, whether it's a bad habit or in the case of contactees, it's often fear or anxiety that may be causing issues in their life where, you know, they're just having trouble functioning or sleeping. And so what's nice is we can do that over Skype, and we will kind of talk for a while at the beginning of the session. And I'm taking notes through the whole session, and I try to use their words back at them when we actually start tapping through the acupoints. And so this was discovered by accident around 1980, this particular technique. And it's worked wonderfully with Vietnam vets that are suffering from post-traumatic stress. And so, as you know, a lot of contactees also suffer from this. And it just can kind of, what it does is it regulates that negative emotion that you're feeling.
Yeah, I'm actually familiar with this a little bit. I kind of know it as something that I've learned about off to the side of something called EMDR, I think it's called.
Okay, EMDR is different. And EMDR is only used by doctors and, I believe, social workers. And it's working a little bit more neurologically, where EFT is working more emotionally with that energy system.
And I always felt like the tapping was sort of like allowing people to sort of process and refile their experience. Is that maybe a good way to put it?
Yeah, and that's my understanding, too. That sounds about right. and the other thing, and I'm not sure about this with EMDR, but I know that with my own experiences, one thing that really kind of helped me to make sense of them was studying shamanic journeying. And so I studied that for a year. And whenever you see a shaman or anybody doing journeying work, you're doing that to a drum beat. That is about 4.5 beats per second. So that it gets you into that theta brainwave state, which is where the mystical can happen.
Can you explain to our audience a little bit what shamanic?
I know that's with that beat as well. I know the Silva method also uses like a metronome in the background. So I think there's definitely something to that particular beat or frequency.
Can you explain to our audience a little bit what shamanic journeying is?
Sure. So probably everybody has heard of meditation, and the shamanic journeying is different than meditation, and I really am not good at explaining that well. But what I can tell you is that with journeying, people that do this particular practice see the world we live in as ordinary reality. And when you are journeying, you're actually going into non-ordinary reality. And in that non-ordinary reality, there's three typical realms that you can journey to, and those are the middle, lower, and upper realms. And so in your lower realms, you have, you know, a lot of earthy, you know, moist kind of, if you could just kind of picture that atmosphere. And the upper realms would be more like, you know, heavenly or your crystal cities or even space. And then your middle realms would be more like our everyday world here, where you can communicate with the elementals like earth, air, fire, and water spirits. So you're going in there as a spiritual journey to commune with your guardian or helping spirits. And those can be humans, plants, animals, even rocks. So, you know, everybody experiences something different there. And so for me, it just, I don't know, it was like the closest I could come to what you experience when you're having a contact kind of experience.
So there seems to be a lot of crossover in the ET and sort of abductee community with this mysticism and spirituality, which sort of leads us so. When we're talking about aliens, are we talking about existing in our plane, or are we talking about something on a mystic and spiritual level, or are we talking about everything in between?
Well, I think we're probably talking on a more of a quantum physicist kind of level, where, you know, there's so many densities and dimensions that we don't see. And, you know, a perfect example of that is the X-ray, you know, like that we can, you know, shoot these X-rays at our body and see these bones that we can't see with our naked eye. With sound, you know, how animals can hear higher-pitched things than we can. You know, we can't see just certain parts of the spectrum or hear certain parts of the spectrum, which are actually the same thing. So aside from the theory of nuts and bolts, aliens and UFOs, which there may be, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think my best answer is we don't know. You do have, you know, every day quantum physics are finding all these different theories and things that are possible in these places and that we can't see. You know, they say like when someone dies that really they're right there, like they're right there in front of you in a different realm and we just can't see them. And so you'll see a lot of similarities, you know, with folks that have experienced ET contact as well as near death, you know, the near death or angels or a host of other paranormal things. So I just think it's different dimensions and densities, and could that be in our realm? Maybe, but maybe it's just on the other side of it, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it makes as much sense as we're all capable of wrapping our brain around, you know.
It's right. Like,
but I do see where you're coming from, and you're right. It seems like over the years that science has become more and more in touch with possible spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this theory that eventually science and religion won't exist and there'll just be one topic in school called The Way Things Are, because science and religion has really kind of been going at the same idea, trying to figure out the way things are, and eventually we'll know the way things are.
Yep.
And then
Sean
made a good point on one of our last shows that the ability to travel the speed of light and go from planet to planet and stuff like that basically means that you're capable of time travel and
sure.
possibly interdimensional travel and all these other things as well that come hand in hand with the ability to travel at those speeds.
Sure. Right.
So we might not be able to put that in the nuts and bolts box, like you're saying.
Well, most of the mass in the universe is unaccounted for. Terms
right.
of we can't observe it. So, I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying in terms of there's a jillion things we don't understand and can't understand.
Yeah, and then the universe is a big place. So even if you're talking, you know, from point A to point B, you know, I always think, gosh, you know, if we really think we're it, you know, that's a sorry kind of thing. For a lot of folks, I mean, it's just hopefully there's, you know, just like there's good and bad humans, you know, there may be good and bad other life forms out there that we just don't know because we can't reach them.
I'm what I refer to as a healthy skeptic, but the one thing that I am absolutely positive of is there is no way that we're the only life in the universe.
Right.
You know, it's just...
be a lot of wasted space, for one thing.
It would be. Yeah.
That's true.
All right. So we're coming up on our first commercial break here. You're listening to Debbie Tripp, and we are talking about abductees and contactees. And I'd like, when we come back from our break, to talk to you a little bit about your contactee experience.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. You're listening to Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland.
Journey to take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening.
Roars.
And cool April nights.
The North State signature event roars back into Reading April 21st through the 29th. See classic cars at Show and Shine throughout the area all week long with the annual Friday night cruise down Hilltop Drive on the 27th and the big car show at the Reading Civic on Saturday the 28th. Awards, food, music, dances, why it's more fun than two teams in a rumble seat at the drive-in. Get the whole schedule by visiting CoolAprilNights.com. Shine up your ride, put on your dancing shoes, and be part of Cool April Nights, April 21st through the 29th. Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Hey, it's time again for Under a Crescent Moon, a social dance, sponsored by Reading School of the Arts, Friday, May 4th at 7 p.m. Live music is provided by Pat Karch and the Crescent Moon Headcats. That's right, I'll be there with all my friends. There's a $20 suggested donation at the door. Snacks and drinks will be provided. And this benefits the RSA Festival Choir. If you like to swing, if you like to sway, come to the Crescent Moon Social Dance. Friday, May 4th at 7 p.m. at Reading School of the Arts, 955 Inspiration Place. You know what I mean. I love with you. Call 510-1903 for details.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed, but after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE, or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Debbie Tripp. Debbie, you know, in your explanation of the situation, I'm very curious what being in a contactee makes sense, but an abductee in this situation really kind of is a little bit mind-blowing to me. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience?
Sure, and you know, I always kind of differentiate between abductee and contactee in a literal sense of the word, meaning, you know, when we think of like a child being abducted, we think of them being taken away. So for people that have had experiences where they feel they have been taken away and have been on a ship, that to me is more of an abduction.
Yeah.
Whereas a contactee, I look at that more as a visitation where you're kind of still in your place and they come to you, but you're not necessarily taken anywhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But in this sort of like spiritual understanding of what these beings and this situation is, being an abductee is the mind blowing part. So, you know, when you're taken, it's like, where are you taken to? It's like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in my first conscious experience, and I say first conscious experience because, you know, after this started happening, I talked with my parents and kind of went over things from my childhood. And, you know, I do think this has been going on probably my whole life. It's just either I was not clearly aware or whatever it was, you know, you're just so in the groove, you just don't realize that it's different than what other people are experiencing. So this was, you know, more of a conscious experience. And it was in November of 2011, and I had just come back from a sleep study because I had been having a lot of insomnia. So my doctor sent me for a sleep study, and I came home around 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was kind of awake at that point, and I didn't go back to bed till around 7 in the morning. And so when that happened, I dreamt, or what I chalked up to a dream, was your typical kind of abduction scenario. And it sounds really cliche, but in it, I was suddenly looking up at the bottom of a ship, and I felt like there were people on each side of me looking up. And the next thing I knew, a beam of light came down.
I'm sorry, when you say people, you mean like other abductees, not aliens?
Possibly, and I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I'm assuming they were other humans that were in the same situation.
Okay.
I don't know because I didn't see them. I kind of just felt them. And so when that beam of light hit, I felt this incredible suction. And I had several tornado dreams in the past. And I'd probably get them about once or twice a year, and I could feel that suction. It was the exact same kind of feeling, and it made me wonder later if those tornado dreams were more of a screen memory for what was actually happening. And so when that suction action started, I felt like I was just fighting it, like really resisting. And I just kind of pictured my arms and legs just really kind of going to resist that suction. And as that started to happen, I heard a male voice say, "Now, Debbie, just relax. You know we need to do this." And as soon as I heard that, I kind of gave in and relaxed, and I thought, well, here we go again. And I felt like I had done it 100 times before. So it became very familiar in that moment, and then everything went black. So I wake up, you know, from this supposed dream, and I am very panicked. And one thing they discovered in my sleep study is I'm not really getting into that REM dream state, which is where you actually have your dreams. So I've never been one that really remembers a lot of dreams or has nightmares. So this really shook me, and I found it very unusual. And I called my husband in a panic because he wasn't home. He was taking our daughter to school, and I said, "You've got to get home as soon as possible because I just had this terrible dream." And he came home and kind of comforted me, and, you know, I just chalked it all up to a dream. Now, when I woke up, I had a sty in my left eye, and a few days later, I started getting a rash, like on the right side of my neck, that turned into this terrible case of tonsillitis. And the doctors first thought it was strep and the flu, and I was testing negative for all that. So they said, "Well, you know, we think it's just tonsillitis." And it was terrible. And I was so, so sick. I hadn't been that sick since I was a child. And my husband was really worried because I was just kind of catatonic in the bed for days. So a couple weeks later, when I was better, I was telling my parents about this dream, and they live right around the corner from where we lived. And my mother, and they're in their late 80s, so at the time they were in their mid 80s. My mother said, "You know, your father saw something in the sky during those couple of weeks. It was like three separate sightings when he was walking the dog around 9 o'clock at night. And my mother cannot walk well, so the first time he saw this thing, he went inside and made her get up and get outside to look at this. And she drew it for me, and it looked like three interlocking rings. So if you can picture, like, you know, like the Olympic rings, but only three of those. And she said they were just like these golden glowing rings, and she could see the sky through them. So they both saw that. He saw that twice. The third time he saw something, he went into my mother and he said, "I don't know what I just saw, and I don't want to talk about it." So we don't know. We don't know what that was. But they, you know, they'll talk about this.
That's like
bit,
the most interesting part, and he's hiding it. that's terrifying. So you know, this has happened to you multiple times, and anytime we're talking to somebody about aliens, I always want to know, and I realize here we're using the term loosely, you know, transdimensional, intergalactic. We're not really sure. What is the intent? Why did they take you?
I mean, I don't know. You know, and we can, and you know, I've been in, you know, a couple of online support groups, which was a godsend at the time. And Misha Johnston's group was wonderful. And we'd always discuss these theories of why, you know, there's, you know, the theory of, is it, you know, for genetics? Is it that they're trying to repopulate their race? Is it that they are us from the future and they're coming to save us from ourselves?
I don't necessarily mean from the 50,000 foot view. I just mean, like, when they took you, you know, what'd they do to you? Do they show you things? You don't remember any of that?
I don't remember any of that because everything went black after that particular time. I had an experience about a year and a half ago where, and this was more in a dream state also, where I was in a ship and it was like a classroom. And it was supposed to be a classroom talk about angels, and it was about ETs and the teacher, who appeared as a woman named Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and I don't know if you're familiar with her. She is deceased, and she had a kind of a New Age spiritual movement years ago, but it was her. And she said, "I'm sorry, I cannot concentrate to tell you about these ETs because there are these angels everywhere." And all of a sudden there were these explosions of blue and you could see these angels, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I remember crying and being awestruck by these angels. So that was my only experience that I'm aware of that I felt that I was actually on a ship in a classroom. And again, it may not have been a nuts and bolts kind of ship. It just might have been some portal into a different density or dimension.
Right, and you might be being shown what you're comfortable with seeing.
Right, exactly, right. So, I don't know. There are people that do remember a lot of what happened on the ship. In my experiences, the one that happened 2 months after that November incident was more physical, and it was more of a visitation than being taken away anywhere. So that was the experience that made me just have that shock and awe of, oh my goodness, you know, what is really happening here? And with that experience, I had been in bed reading.
Well, let me cut you off there. We're coming up on our last commercial break of the interview here. I'll let you tell me that story when we get back.
Alrighty.
You're listening to Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland.
Telling
Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI gnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could whiz on a monster truck reek? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Debbie Tripp. Debbie, you were telling us about a visitation experience before we went to break.
Yes. Yes. So this was about 2 months after that dream experience. And it was around, I would say, 3:30 in the morning. I used to go to bed around 10, and then I'd get up around 3 or 3:30 and read a little bit and then go back to sleep.
Sound like my
so
wife.
I had just finished reading around 3:30, and I was shutting off my book light and putting my book away and, you know, getting snuggled into the covers, and I started hearing noises in the house, and I heard what first sounded like somebody shutting, like, a cabinet door in the kitchen, and then I heard what sounded like a noise in our living room, and I went to wake my husband up to tell him to go check it out, you know, like you would normally do if, when something like that happens. And when I went to speak, I could not move at all. And I heard this roaring hum in my right ear, and the whole room just kind of flooded with this blue light. And I could hear, like, the shuffling of little feet, like several little kids, if you could picture that sound, like kind of running around the bedroom. And my eyeballs were able to move, which you'll hear that a lot, too, that in sleep paralysis where, you know, you can't move anything except your eyeballs. And so I looked over to my husband's side of the bed, and that is where I saw what looked like your typical gray alien, except that this one was glowing blue. It was like an electric cobalt kind of blue. and I could only see it from the chest up. And in that moment, I just thought, oh, my goodness, what happened in November wasn't a dream. And then all of a sudden, everything went black. So I feel like I get to these states where everything just kind of goes black, which, you know, they may do for, you know, your own benefit as well as their own benefit. I don't know. But I woke up, and it was probably about an hour later. And so when I came to, I immediately went to tell my husband, you know, about what happened. And I felt like I was drugged. And it was, you know, that feeling, I always describe it to people as that feeling of when you've come out of anesthesia, if you've ever had any kind of surgery,
yeah,
where you're, you know, you're kind of rubbery, you can't really form your words very well. And he, who usually will wake right up if I need something, was the same way. He could not, we couldn't, neither of us could get a sentence out. And we both fell asleep and didn't wake up till a few hours later. And you would just think that after something like that, which was harrowing, I mean, I really thought I was going to die. Like, it felt like this is it. That you would be up and not able to sleep at all.
Yeah.
So the next day was a completely different story because I had what we call in the South as a complete come apart. Now, at the time, my husband and I, we had been married about 11 years, and he knows me as a fairly stable, you know, not super emotional kind of person. And I just started crying and shaking and tried to explain what had happened the night before. And I felt like a crazy person. I felt like, you know, when I heard myself speaking the words, I thought, I have lost my mind. And I knew I needed to talk to somebody about it. And I honestly did not know where to turn because, you know, my first logical thought was, I need to see a psychotherapist to process this. And then I thought, they're going to give me the crazy stamp and I'm going to end up in the funny farm. And you really start to have these thoughts of, oh, my goodness, is my husband going to leave me? Am I going to lose my family? Am I crazy? And then there's the flip side of that with, you know, well, if I was crazy, maybe that's fixable. Because, you know, if this is really happening, I remember telling my husband that I felt hopeless and helpless and that even if I died, I didn't feel like I could escape whatever that was. So it was a really rough time. I eventually was able to get in touch with, my first person I had reached out to, I got on the internet, and of course, I don't know anything about this field, okay? So I always considered myself a very spiritually open person, and this stretched me because I obviously wasn't that, you know, as open-minded as I thought I was, and, you know, I always tell people if we were talking about ghosts or angels, it fits that paradigm that we've all been brought up with, you know. But aliens, you know, and UFOs, you know, not so much. It's just the stuff of science fiction. It's, you know, it's
that's funny because on a science level, you know, you'd think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, I think we'd be the exact opposite probably.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, you're totally right about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so your husband think you're crazy, or has he got your back now?
No, he has always had my back, thank goodness. I mean, he has been such a blessing, and my daughter, too. She's now almost 15, so she was around 7 or 8 when this started happening. And, you know, between then and now, there's been, a lot of experiences. She has had some experiences.
Mm.
My husband has woken up with, like, the three fingerprint kind of bruise pattern on his shoulders or his hips.
You guys have been marked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
so, you know, he knows me, and so he knew that that was unusual. There was a lot of synchronistic, what I call prep work, that happened in the couple of years leading up to that November incident, which would be a whole other show. But, you know, one of those things was seeing number patterns like 1111 and 333 and, you know, patterns that I had never seen before in my life. And you'll hear that with a lot of experiencers now. You know, and people will say, well, what is that? And I kind of think they might be some kind of a code that, you know, maybe every time we see those numbers, something's, you know, happening in our consciousness. And that when we're ready, maybe a switch is going to flip and we'll all know what to do with all those codes. I don't know. That's one thing you'll hear that's a commonality with folks.
Sorry to interrupt you here. We don't have that much time left, but I really wanted to get this out. How common do you think these kinds of things are? Because there's probably a lot of people who don't know how to make sense of this or just think they're crazy, like you said, or that kind of thing. So how common do you think it is that people have been visited by these?
Well, I mean, from what I hear, you know, if you do the math, they say millions of folks are experiencing this kind of thing. And for all we know, it could be happening to everybody on some level. You know, if we are some kind of, you know, seeded planet and they're just keeping tabs on us. Because one thing I'll always say, too, is I always feel like they're just giving me a checkup. When I have those experiences, at the point I blank out, I think, you know, if it was a nuts and bolts kind of doctor, they might be checking my vitals or something in my energy system or, you know, they're just kind of keeping tabs. So I don't know. I do think it's probably happening to more people than realize it. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, which is the buckle of the Bible Belt, and we actually have a support group here and have had it for many years. And now, you know, as the years go by, more and more people will come out and say something, or, you know, I'll be talking to somebody and they'll say, hey, you know, I saw your website and I kind of had this experience. And people are feeling a little more comfortable coming out at least to each other, maybe not publicly on a public scale, but to each other. And I think that's important that they're doing that. And I do think the more voices that are heard, maybe people will get some kind of understanding from that.
Well, that's good. Good timing for us. We're here at the end of the show, and I want to make sure that you have a chance to tell our audience where they can find out more about you.
Sure. Well, my website is debbietripp.com. It's spelled D-E-B-I dot. I'm sorry, debbietripp, T-R-I-P-P, all together, .com. My email is on there, which is debbie.tripp@yahoo.com. On Facebook, my personal page is DebbieTripp1111, and I have the Experiencers Journal page, which is a free download for people wanting to have help with journaling their experiences. And we have the Sound Symbols and Star Writing group also on Facebook for people that are channeling sounds or writing things that aren't so much the norm. So that's been a great group, too. Well, so you can reach me through any of those venues.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Debbie Tripp here on Radio Wasteland. That's DebbieTripp.com. Go ahead and check her out. Thanks for listening.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.